This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco last week ruled that students of a controversial military training school based in the U.S. can't remain secret. The Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, formerly known as the School of the Americas, has been training members of the armed services of many Latin American countries for decades. Activists have pointed out that graduates of the school have gone on to lead death squads, foment coups of democratically elected governments, and more. Well, every year, the group School of the Americas Watch leads a major march and protest near the institute in Fort Benning, Georgia. This year, organizers moved the march to Nogales, to the U.S.-Mexico border, to protest the militarization of the border and the criminalization of refugees and migrants. My guest Hector Aristizabal was at the gathering, which took place from October 7th through the 10th. Hector is a therapist, psychologist, actor, artist, and activist, the founder and artistic director of Imagine Action, a nonprofit theater arts organization. Originally from Colombia, Hector is a survivor of torture and has been active for years with the School of the Americas Watch. Welcome to the program, Hector.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Here.
So you, I understand, have gone regularly to the marches in Fort Benning, Georgia, right?
I have been there for at least five times before in Fort Benning, and I was very happy that we move it to the border, so that would change.
So let's start with that. Actually, why did the School of the Americas Watch, SOAW, the main activist organization that has been holding this school accountable for years, why did they move from Fort Benning, Georgia, to Nogales?
Well, our main focus this whole time has been asking for the closing of the school, but the school is just a symbol of many other places that do training and participate in the militarization of the borders and the militarization or the influence of American military in South and Central America and other places. But because of the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border, we wanted to bring awareness of that militarization and also the criminalization of migrants and asylum seekers, refugees, and in general, people of color in this country. So we wanted to link that the militarization in the United States is also connected to U.S. economic policies in South and Central America, among other countries, and also the militarization of the border. And we wanted to bring awareness at the crimes that the Border Patrol has committed on many migrants, and also the people who are being incarcerated by the Border Patrol in privately owned for-profit prisons. So that was one of the main reasons why we wanted to go there. And we wanted to change the scene. Now, it was amazing to be in a place where we're not just talking about the border, we are at the border, and we see how this wall or a fence in the Nogales area where we were divides us from each other. Mm. So we were living it. Mm.
So tell us what these 3 days were like. I mentioned October 7th through the 10th, there were, I understand, a series of events. There were marches, there were rallies, there were puppets, there was music. Some of the images and video from the three-day event just look like it was an amazing place to be, much better than Burning Man. Tell us about what your experience was like there.
Yeah, this is a little political Burning Man. And we're burning the man also in a symbolic way. But yes, I think that the reason why this is the longest ongoing nonviolent demonstration in the United States, it has been going on for 26 years now. For me, it's very interesting because it began in 1989 when I came to the United States, and when the six Jesuit priests were killed in San Salvador, in the University of San Salvador, among them the creator of the psychology of liberation, Ignacio Martin Baró. And they were killed by students of the School of the Americas. So I was able to make the links between that and the people who tortured me in Colombia. And later on with Plan Colombia, who was developed by an ex-graduate of the school. But why is this so alive? Because it's a place where we not only bring the voices of the people who had suffered at the hands of U.S. militarism, but so there were people from Honduras, there were indigenous people talking about their struggles, there were people from who had suffered at the hands of the border patrols, the victims of the border patrol, or the relatives. There were people who work with migrants, not only the ones who go into the desert, bring water, and try to save lives, and had been the ones who have recuperated or point to more than 3,000 remains of people who had died trying to cross the desert, die of starvation, thirst, or during the winter times, froze to death. So we want to bring awareness of the killing that our policies generate in the border. And at the same time, we bring music. Art is a very important aspect of this because it's a vigil where we mourn for these deaths. We take responsibility as citizens of the United States for these deaths. And we also use the puppets and the artwork to create images of what we want. So we are not only just saying no to what we don't want, we're saying the kind of world that we want to create. And then there are also many workshops, there are talks, there are trainings, and at the end we do a nonviolent civil disobedience action. We started with at the Eloy Detention Center. We started with 700 people going to this privately owned prison where there are many migrants who are incarcerated there and treated as criminals. We had many people who testified of the abuses inside the prison. We had a woman who was pregnant when she was there and she lost her child, and talk about the more than 14 people who had died inside that prison. Five of them had committed suicide, and this is just one of the many prisons that ICE is using to incarcerate. They said that there are 34,000 people in prison every day who are migrants. So they are making profit out of people suffering. And a lot of the events are a lot of the people who speak at this event are the survivors themselves. I had been supported by this movement when I first came to the United States, and then I became someone very involved with the School of the Americas Watch and what they do because of the support that I received. And we heard that over and over from the people who were there, the mothers of the people who had been killed. We also did a march celebrating or commemorating the fourth anniversary of a child who was shot in the Mexican side by the border patrol because he was throwing rocks. And he received 11 bullets in the back by a border patrol agent who is not in prison, who is still working. So we are demanding justice for him and so many other people. We had a woman called Ana Enamorado who is from Honduras, and she has been in Mexico for the last 2 years looking for her son, who she knows disappeared while trying to reach the United States. And we also talk about why these people come to this country, unlike our presidential candidates who said that we wake up one day and said we don't want to be with our loved ones anymore, we don't want to speak our language or eat our food or live in our culture, we just want to go to the United States, rape women, and rob people, as Mr. Trump said about immigrants. No, people come here escaping violence, like in my case and many other people, or escaping the violence generated by the economic policies of the United States in South America. So we wanted to address the root causes of why people come to this country.
My guest, Hector Aristizabal, was at the event that took place in Nogales, October 7th through the 10th, describing to us the 3 days of events organized by School of the Americas Watch, which is the organization that was founded decades ago to point out the crimes committed by the graduates of the institution that was then known as School of the Americas. Today, they changed the name some years ago, but the policies remain the same. The Western Hemispheric Institute for Security Cooperation, or WINSEC. And essentially, as far as I understand, Hector, that school operates unencumbered. Its graduates still go on to do who knows what and, you know, sort of undermine democracy in who knows which ways in Latin America. And I mentioned at the top of our conversation that the struggle to kind of make public who these students of this military school are continues. The legal system wants to protect their privacy. So how does this school continue? It's not even a talking point during our presidential debates, but this continues to operate.
Yeah, since 9/11, now they consider a top secret and a way to protect the United States not to reveal the names of the people that they continue training at this school. And we know that they not only are continue training people from South America and Central America, among them the people who participated in the coup d'etat in Honduras 4 years ago, the people who developed Plan Colombia in Colombia, that among other things was responsible for the falsos positivos, the people who, more than 3,000 people who were taken from the streets, killed by the Colombian army, dressed as guerrillas, so they could send the quota of that they were winning the war against the guerrilla, and etc. I mean, so many atrocities that we used to be able to link to specific names. Now we have been told that we don't have the right to receive those names of these South American soldiers and military personnel. But we continue demanding this. This is a right that we have as citizens and the right to accountability for these places. And we will continue fighting that struggle. And for example, for me, it has been very important to stay connected to the process in Colombia. And I was able to talk about the recent events in my country. I'm sure that you have covered this in your program, but
right, you're talking about the election in Colombia that sadly undermined the very hard-fought peace deal between the FARC guerrillas and the government.
Yeah, the referendum, and yes, when the referendum, the no against the peace agreements reached between the FARC and the government, were voted by 60,000 people. More than the vote for the yes came out last Sunday, I was very depressed and almost speechless. Yet, at the next day, when I noticed who voted for yes and who voted for no, and the people who voted for the yes were mostly the regions in the country that has been most affected by the war. And especially I used the example of Bojayá, which is in Chocó, where the largest massacre committed by the FARC in their fight against the paramilitaries that took place in this region, in the Atrato River, where they threw a bomb that fell in a church where mostly the elders and the children were hiding, but were being used as human shield by the paramilitaries, and they were killed. 74 of them died instantly, and 119 was the total at the end. But these people voted 96% for the yes on the referendum and only 4% voted no. And these people are the people who have been doing the work of reconciliation, of healing. They accepted, I participated in a process using Theater of the Oppressed to socialize the question if they wanted the guerrilla to accept the guerrilla's desire to come and ask for forgiveness. And so we used theater, and they at the end, they said, after a long process of psychosocial interventions, they said, yes, we're ready to receive them. And that happened last December, and it was the first time that the guerrilla has done such an act of asking for forgiveness and saying this was a big mistake that we committed in our war against the paramilitaries. Mm. But when we did this, this community asked for also for the government and the paramilitaries to take responsibility of what had done to this community.
So in so many, I feel, Yeah, go
go
ahead.
ahead, go ahead. No, that I feel that there's no somehow, the most more than half of the people who voted for the no was the Christian evangelicals, who were told that in the agreement they were going to change the constitution and give gay rights to people and give children to same-sex couples, etc., etc. And apparently Jesus told them to vote against the peace process. But the reaction has been incredible. Tomorrow, 7,000 victims, many of them indigenous people, are walking into Colombia's palace to demand that the peace process be respected. And also the receiving of the Nobel Peace Prize by our president is support from the international community saying, no, we believe that you guys can reach this. And many of us do believe that. So it's going to turn out to be energizing. People are on the street, the young people are on the streets, the victims are demanding respect for their desires and not to be re-victimized. So I think this is irreversible.
Well, Hector, thank you for that note on the Colombia situation. Back to the issue of the School of the Americas watch. Is there a website? I know that there's been a lot of images and videos posted from the event that you just attended in Nogales. Is there a website you can recommend?
Yes, it's SOAW.org. And there you will be led to the convergence at the border and lots of images and videos, especially of the action, the nonviolent action that took place after we ended the vigil. And we went to one of the checkpoints in Nogales where ICE stops cars and questions drivers. And they don't have the right to do that. They don't have the constitutional right to do that. People can simply be quiet and not answer any of their questions. And when they saw 200 people walking and not responding to their questions, it was incredible to see how they paralyzed. They
Wow.
didn't know what to do. And they tried to intimidate us. They said they were going to arrest us. They said they were going to use tear gas in us. And for 5 hours, we stayed there. And some people staged a symbolic death. And they were crying, and it's very dramatic, and it's very beautiful, and it's the power of citizens saying no to the brutality of our government, and saying no to the policies that kill people, that are responsible for the killing of so many people. So we have that power, and that's what the School of the Americas Watch vigil every year does. It's like a place of initiation. There are lots of older activists, but also a lot of young people coming from the universities and high schools, and people bringing their children, because it's not only speeches, it's also music, and it's beauty, and it's hope, and it's about the world that we want.
Well, Hector, I want to thank you as always for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you back on our program again in the near future. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My
Take care.
guest is Hector Aristizabal, a therapist, psychologist, actor, artist, and activist. He's the founder and artistic director of Imagine Action, a nonprofit theater arts organization. Originally from Colombia, Hector is a survivor of torture. He's been active for years with the School of the Americas Watch and recently attended the Nogales event from October 7th through 10th. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can now sign up for our newsletter at risingupwithsonali.com to get daily emails with links to all our stories.